And we're going to go through chapter 9 now. And again, not going to go in great detail with this because most of us already understand what faith promise giving is all about and have been here before. The main thing that we want to ask the Lord is basically, Lord, what more would you have me to do than what I did last year? And that is the main goal. Lord, what more do you want me to do than what I did last year? And I do trust that God will give us greater faith this year to do greater things. We're taking on two more missionaries by God's grace and been raising five additional missionaries' salary and giving them some. How many of y'all like a raise? Amen. All of us like a raise. Don't you think our missionaries like raises too? Amen. I've been in some churches with missionaries have been there with them for 40 years. They never gave them one raise. That's incredible. And so when I took our missionaries on, I said, we're going to start you off at this. I said, then periodically when God blesses, we're going to go back and increase when we get an opportunity. And so now we get an opportunity to do so. And we're going to increase several missionaries by at least five of them by $20 each a month. And I'm looking forward to that. And God's going to work. Marvelous work of grace. Let's read just a couple of verses here. And we're going to skip ahead in 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and concentrate on verses 6, 7, 8. And read those verses and trust God to work in our midst today. And we'll cover all of them, but not in great detail. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, and everybody at verse 6, say amen.
Amen.
All right, we're going to read verses 6, 7, and 8 together. Here we go. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. Now, Father, bless now the reading of your word tonight. As Paul has given instruction to the church at Corinth in regards to the collection for the poor saints in Jerusalem, Lord, that is where we get the principal idea and the principal rule from faith promise giving. And I pray the same way they mustered up their finances and gave to the saints in Jerusalem, we would do the same, Lord, but we're giving for the cause of the gospel, getting around the world in obedience to the word of God. Thank you for loving us, Lord. Meet our need tonight. Speak to us in a marvelous way. Have your hands upon Julianne, the Wilkersons as well. Lord, pray that it is not as bad as they think. Maybe it's just a sprain. Lord, even if it is a break, I pray that it might heal in a clean way, Lord, very quickly. And Lord, we'll thank you again and praise you for what you can do in our midst tonight. And may you get all praise, honor, and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. You may be seated. You know, looking at faith promise and missionaries in general, let me ask this question. Pastor Wyatt, what are you most grateful for, Brother Kraft, being in Spain? What thing are you most grateful for? Amen. Because of mission. Brother Serge, what about you? Over in England, what do you most appreciate about that church that was there in England? He says a whole bunch. Amen. 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 And I think that's the theme. Where would we be today if it were not for a missionary in those areas? Katie, what are you most thankful for the church over there in England? Amen.
And they were connected for that reason and that reason only, to share the gospel, to love people regardless of their circumstances or how they came to church or anything else. It was just a loving kind of environment, and it showed me Christ's love before I knew Christ's love.
Amen. 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 And these are military churches we're talking about overseas. Ms. Dawson, what strikes out as one of the most grateful things that you have for the church in Belgium? Amen. Yes. Amen. 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 I'm most thankful that I got the gospel. I got the gospel. Now, the church had a lot of great things to offer me, but I got the gospel. I had never received a clear presentation of the gospel in my entire life. I heard a lot of people talk about church, a lot of people talk about religion, a lot of people talk about Jesus, God, and all the other, but nobody ever said, you know, if you were to die right now, where are you going to spend eternity? And I've got a Bible to show you how to, you can know how to get to heaven. And that was something that it was foreign to me. And folks, that's what missions is all about. Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. His goal was to give his life that you and I could enjoy eternal life with him. And there are so many people around the world that have not heard that message. Folks, I was 27 years old when I got saved. Anybody was older than 27 when you got saved? How were you when you got saved? 28, Brother Sir? 28? 33?
No, I'm sorry.
39
now, so 37.
Amen. I was 27. Tamara, how were you when you got saved? 34, amen. I was 27. I had never heard, now, had you guys heard a clear presentation of the gospel?
No.
Have you guys ever heard a clear presentation where you understood this is life and death, heaven or hell, I get saved or I'm lost, it's not about religion. When you really knew and understood this is the gospel, had you heard that before? Hadn't heard that? And see, that's what I'm talking about. I had never gotten to the point. They gave me religion. They gave me church, churchianity. They gave me baptism. They told me to tithe. They told me to do all those things. Yes, ma'am?
I'd even gone to vacation Bible school as a kid.
There you go. Never. I mean, I went to the church and ate their food. They had potlucks, and I mean, and I went and ate. They had fried chicken with the best of them. I went in there and grubbed out and left in there, left out just as unsaved as I came in. I was full, but I was unsaved. And in my soul, I was like Serge. I was yearning for something. I was hungry for something. I was thirsty for something. I wanted something, but I didn't know what I wanted, nor did I know what I needed. And so when I was invited to church, I said, I've been there, done that. Well, you need to come to my church. I've been there. I was a member. I sang in the choir. I wore a robe. So I did it all. I took communion. I was baptized. But nobody showed me how to be saved. I'm singing in the choir. I read scriptures in front of the church. It was out of the Living Bible, but I still read them. But nobody in the church took time to say, son, are you sure if you die, you go to heaven? Not even the preacher. He didn't preach a salvation message. And folks, that's what missions is all about. Us sending people around the world, because there are people still yearning and thirsting like you were thirsting and wanting to hear the gospel message. They don't need church. They don't need religion. They don't need that. That's not going to save them. Now, church will help them once they get saved, if it's the right type of church. But it's not going to save them. The church didn't die for anyone. And just going across this room and hearing the ages that you got saved, the age that I got saved, we were fortunate that God still had mercy on us. Our young people are fortunate now. They get to hear the gospel at a young age. Joshua, Faith, and Layla, and the rest of the young kids, they get to hear the gospel at an early age. I didn't have that. Like Katie, I went to church but didn't hear anything. It wasn't preached. Like Pastor White, they were, what, you had the circuit preacher? Did he show up every third week or something like that? Every third Sunday? Was it? Every first Sunday of the month, he got a chance to go to church. They called them circuit preachers. They would go around to different churches, and so you would have church on a certain week. You didn't have Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday. You didn't have three to thrive. You were hopefully survived till the preacher came around next time to your town. And so he had a circuit preacher in his town. But we're talking about giving to missionaries that are going around the world, giving the gospel, trying to get people saved, going out there amongst them. And folks, that's a real need right now. Our society, we're on an epic level right now where we're about to elect in Hillary Clinton or Donald Trump. But it just goes to show you where the state of America is when those are the two best candidates that we can find. I think God is doing that on purpose to give us a wake-up call. It's going to get worse before it gets better. Say, preacher, when's it going to get better? When we get raptured out of here? Neither one of those candidates is going to provide a cure for America. The cure is going to come from the Word of God. Donald Trump doesn't have it. Hillary Clinton doesn't have it. They're going to mandate everything against it. Hillary's already got all these other things that she wants to implement with same-sex marriage and all this other stuff. And it's going to be illegal that you and I can't say what we want to say. And we're going to get put in jail probably or censored or whatever the case may be. And our young children are being made and forced to accept two daddies as legitimately husband and wife. They're being forced to accept that. And woe be it to them if they say something against it, that that's not right. And even though they can have their opinion, we can't have our opinion that their opinion is wrong. And they can have their opinion that our opinion is wrong and we can go to jail. It's not getting any better. What's the cure? This book. And what's the cure? Us getting missionaries around the world. The cure is the Word of God. It's always been the Word of God. It's always been Jesus. It's always been getting saved. It's always been getting right with God. It's always getting the gospel. What changed my nephew from wearing girls' clothes to men's clothes? The gospel. The gospel. What got him saved? The gospel. What got him to make a public profession of faith? The gospel. Folks, that's what it's all about. Our nation is in turmoil right now. If our nation thinks the Savior is in Hillary or in Donald Trump, we are gravely mistaken. I believe God's going to use them, but I believe more importantly, the Antichrist is going to use them. And the things that they allow and the things that they put before us and the things that they try to indoctrinate us with so that when the Antichrist comes on the scene, it's going to be an easy takeover. But the answer is going to be the gospel. And I'm here to tell you that I'm going to go down. I should say go down. I'm going to go up swinging. Say, how are you going to go up swinging? Giving money to missionaries. I'm going to go up swinging. When the rapture happens, I'm going to give, and I'm going to die giving. I'm going to die giving. And I hope you plan on die giving. Amen. I can't take any of it with me.
That's right, Pastor. You can.
Can you?
No.
So we might as well give until we go.
Amen.
Why?
Amen.
We can't take it with us. We got a street of gold waiting for us. Paul here is instructing the Corinthian church here to help out with the famine going on in Jerusalem. And as we discussed already, grace giving this morning, we find the church at here being exhorted to finish collecting so they could give to the churches in Jerusalem to help them. We saw in chapter number 8, verses 1 through 8, the example of the Christians by the Macedonian saints. And then we saw the example of Christ in verse 9. We saw the grace of our Lord. Verses 10 through 15, we saw the exhortation to Corinth. They were to give out of that which they have. God is not asking you to give what you don't have if you're not willing to give what you do have. Amen. And so he's wanting you to give out of that which you have. And then we saw the escort to Corinth in verses 16 through 24 of chapter number 8, how Paul was wanting to make sure that the money got there. Now, just quickly here, I want to go down chapter number 9 and highlight just some important things that I think need to be highlighted. And by the way, Corinth had a lot to be thankful for because they got established because of other Christians like the ones in Jerusalem. And so do you and I. We have a lot to be thankful for. We've got this building. We've got our children. We've got our families. We've got missionaries already out there doing the job in other areas. And now we have the opportunity to get two more missionaries out there and to increase five more. And you say, preacher, where's it going to come from? Us.
Us.
It's going to come from us. You say, preacher, I don't have it to give. You know what's amazing with God? God takes a little that we give and multiplies it to a lot. Remember the manna that they collected? It went a long way. It went as far as it needed to go. And wherever they were at, they were blessed. God is going to bless whatever you and I give to missions because he's looking at our heart. And again, we mentioned this morning. It's not about a law. You give out of love. And Paul said, it's not a commandment. You don't even have to do this. He said, but it does prove the sincerity of your love. And by the way, you do for people that you love. You can't say that you love them and not do for them.
That's right.
Amen. But if you do for them, it's because you love them oftentimes. And so every one of us can and should be involved in worldwide evangelism, both by our finances and our feet. And we saw grace simply means favor or loving kindness or goodwill. And it can be established or it can be defined as getting what we don't deserve or great riches at Christ's expense or God's strength and the ability to do God's will. And we saw all that this morning. And the will of God for every New Testament church is Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 and 20. Say it with me. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. By the way, notice he says, and lo, I am with you. No matter how bad it's going to get in 2016 or 17, God is still going to be with us. He said, lo, I am with you always. As long as you're giving and doing what I'm asking you to do, he says, lo, I am with you and I'll bless you. So don't worry about how bad it is or how low you go, because lo, I am with you to take you higher. That's God's blessing. Amen. And so that is the will of God for every New Testament church. Notice the preparations and giving and grace giving down in verses 1 through 5. He says down there, for as touching the ministering to the saints, it is superfluous for me to write to you. For I know the forwardness of your mind, for which I boast of you to them of Macedonia, that Achaia was ready a year ago, and your zeal hath provoked very many. He's getting into this anticipation and grace giving. He's letting them know it's superfluous. It's more than what was required to write again to you. I really don't need to write again to you, but you know what? I'm going to write it again anyway. He said, people are excited because of what you guys promised to do when it comes to giving. He says, your zeal hath provoked many. He said, they got on board and they got fired up because you gave. Amen. By the way, when you give, people get fired up. We had the brother Ferrari was here a couple years ago. And how many of you remember brother Ferrari? Amen. Some of you probably don't, but he was here several years ago. And when he came, I said, brother Ferrari, I said, I've got to be honest with you. I said, we have a backlog of missionaries. I said, we probably won't be able to take you on for another 1 or 2 years. But he said, you know what? He said, I'm just glad that you're considering to take me on. And I said, by God's grace, I said, in a couple of years, I pray that we can take you on. And now the time has come and we want to take him on. He said, well, what if he's already supported? What if he's not? I can tell you this. Do you know that churches drop missionary support all the time? You say, preacher, why would they do this, such a thing? Number one, churches close down. Number two, new preachers come in who don't want to support that missionary because they don't know him. And number three, God forbid, Christians stop giving. I was talking to a pastor recently, and he said it pained his heart that their missions, they had to really cut down on their missionaries because people stopped giving. And so certain missionaries, they had to cut off their finances. Now, how would you like it if you were still out there doing your job at the same level and your finances got cut and it was no fault of your own? How would you like that? You're out there working hard and you're doing the job and all of a sudden somebody comes back and says, I'm sorry, we're going to stop paying you $50 a month. I'm sorry, we're going to stop paying you $100 a month. Why? Well, no fault of your own, but this preacher doesn't like you. Well, no fault of your own, but this church stopped giving. Well, no fault of your own, but this church closed down. Well, no fault of your own, but you know, we're too strapped right now and hard times have come. We don't know what Clinton's going to do. And then you're still out there working. How would you like that? Brother Aaron, how would you like that? You just bought a house. Walmart says, Aaron, we want you to keep doing the same job that you're doing and keep working hard, but we're going to cut you $200 a month. It happens to missionaries. And by faith, they have to stay on the field. Now, let me stop that. They don't have to stay anywhere. They can come home. But by grace, they trust God to God. God's going to work it out. And oftentimes when churches stop giving, God finds alternate means to meet their need by way of people in the vicinity, by people in the neighborhood or people over here or some check coming in here. I was talking to Mitchell Crittenden and he said they were out there on the field and they were wondering about some things. And he told you guys about that story, too, about the vehicle that came up and the same vehicle that they wanted. Somebody gave it to them. That's just how God meets the need. And so he says here, there's some preparations in grace giving, but he says, I'm anticipating you guys getting involved. And he said, your zeal is going to provoke a whole bunch of people. And by the way, I told our folks that this is a mission hearted church and our people love missionaries and we love missions and our folks give. Missionaries come in here and preachers, they look at that board and they think, they look at you and they look at that board. They look at you and they look at that board and they look at you and they look at that board. And then they look at me and they say, preacher, how? I said, when you love missions and you have a heartbeat that's God's heartbeat, you'd be surprised what you can do. Even when you don't have a whole lot, you can give a whole lot. And they look at that and they think, wow. And I'm talking churches that are 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 10 times the size of this church that look at that board. And they look at our missionaries out there and they find out that we're giving at a minimum $100 per missionary. And they say, how in the world are you guys doing that? I said, we're just giving ourselves to God and God's doing the rest. I said, I love missions. I said, because I got saved at a missions church and several others have as well. And so they understand what it's like. They understand the need. They understand the toughness. They understand what it's like to be overseas and away from everything and everybody and are dependent upon the power and the mercy of God. And unfortunately, sometimes Christians giving. And so the anticipation in giving. Hebrews 10:24 says, let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. Provoke is usually a negative connotation, but here it's used in light of something good. He said, let's provoke. These folks, he said, your zeal has provoked many. But then we see an adversary in giving. Verses 3 and 4. And by the way, something's going to happen to try to make you not want to give. He says, yet have I sent the brethren, lest you're boasting, lest our boasting on of you should be in vain in this behalf, that as I said, ye may be ready. Lest happily, if they of Macedonia come with me and find you unprepared, we, that we say not ye, should be ashamed in this same confident boasting. Paul said, if the men come and find you unprepared, then we're really going to be ashamed because we bragged on you guys. He said, I understand there's going to be something that's going to make you not want to give. By the way, you're going to have some unexpected bills come up this year. You're going to have some unexpected things happen. Some unexpected breakdowns are going to happen. Some things are going to happen in your life that you didn't expect to happen. There's going to be an adversary. And Paul says, you know what? Some things are going to happen in your life, Corinth. And I don't want you to be unprepared because you know we're coming. By the way, when you know things are coming, you know what you normally do? Prepare. Prepare. And he says down there, there's going to be an adversary in grace giving. Something is going to help stop you from giving. Life is going to happen. Families are going to happen. Social things are going to happen. Investments are going to happen. Educational things are going to happen. Dental things are going to happen. The elections are going to happen. Health care is going to happen. By the way, in Arizona, they said that the health care, Obamacare, is supposed to go up 116%. How many of y'all read that? 116% in Arizona and certain other areas as well. Now, do you know how bad that's going to affect some people? That's going to really hurt some people across America. And they were saying, well, there's all these subsidies and there's this and there's this. A whole bunch of people aren't going to have that. They're not going to have that. Millions of people. And they're saying, well, it can be fixed. Yeah, it can be fixed, but it's going to get fixed real fast. Or millions of people are going to be hurting real bad without health care. So there's going to be an adversary. But then he said, there's insurance in grace giving. Notice verse 5. Therefore, I thought it necessary to exhort the brethren, if they would go before unto you and make up beforehand your bounty, whereof ye had nothing, I had noticed before, that the same might be ready as a matter of bounty and not as of covetousness. He said, we're going to make sure we send some folks ahead to make sure that what you said you're going to give, that you really do give and put it aside and make it ready and get prepared. That's why we're getting prepared right now. Dr. Baldwin's going to come in. He's going to preach Wednesday and Thursday and Friday and Saturday and Sunday and then Sunday night and in preparation that your heart and my heart is going to be ready to do a little bit more than what we did last year. And so preparations are going to be made. We need to be prepared week after week to give to missions. Don't get caught off guard. Plan on it. Prepare it. Then place it in the offering envelope. And we've heard about that many, many times before. Say, preacher, why do we have to give to missions weekly? Because missions needs come up all the time. Not to mention they have to be paid once a month. But you'd be surprised at the missionaries that need a little help. We just heard about Brother Kiefer down in Missouri trying to get a building, and we helped them. We know how that is because we were in that same boat. Those of us that were here, how many of y'all were here back in 2006? We're trying to raise that money for the church building. Amen. Remember how scary that was? How tough that was? Amen. We're looking around, how's this going to happen? Where's this money going to come from? I thought, man. And out of the blue, God blessed us with $495,000. God's just good like that. Now I don't know how Brother Kiefer is going to get his building, but you know what? If God's in it, God always makes it happen. I was talking to Brother Vaught up there and at the men's conference, and he wants me to come and preach their dedication in April. And they got a church building now. I preached for him a while back, preached a revival for him. And he said, we got our building now. He said, can you come up and do dedication? I said, how'd you do it? He said, God's been good to us. He said, God gave us a loan for 2.6% interest. I said, what? Folks, he's in Scottsdale. He's in Scottsdale. And number two, he's a church. I said, they gave you what? He said, 2% in Scottsdale, and they bought an old Methodist church. I said, that is unbelievable. He said, we said the same thing. He said, and Scottsdale, 2% interest on a loan? I thought, did you have to cut your arm or leg off or something for that? He said, no. He said, God's just good like that. God's good. God is good. Missions needs come up all the time, and missionaries have to get paid. And by the way, we get missionaries in here. At a minimum, every missionary gets between $150 to $200 for the speaking engagement, not to mention we handle their lodging expenses, their gas, and their food. And so when we collect offerings for missions, it is going out consistently on different needs that they have. And so not only do we see here the preparations in grace giving, but the promise in grace giving. Notice down here in verse 6, say, preacher, what do I get out of it? Verses 6, 7. This is what you get out of it. Everything that you give will be matched. Just like a farmer, amen. The principle is agricultural. It's a principle that's applied to financial as well as the spiritual realm. Like a farmer, the more you plant, the more you yield. Just like a bank, the more you put in, the more you get out in interest. It's if there was no profit, no one would do it. By the way, there is profit in giving to missions. And that's why, not why we do it, but we get that in return when we do it. Notice verse 6. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. Okay, Joshua, if you plant one apple seed, how many apple trees can you possibly get? One. If you plant 50 apple seeds, Joshua, how many apple trees can you possibly get? 50. Now, how many apples can you get off of one apple tree? 800. Quite a bit, though. But how many can you get off of 50 apple trees? So would you rather plant one apple seed or 50 apple seeds?
One.
You'd rather plant one and only get one apple tree? You wouldn't want to plant 50 and get 50 trees? Why? He's thinking about the labor involved in it. We're talking about the apple pies involved, amen, and the apple cobblers involved. He's looking at the labor, amen. I got to water it, then I got to weed it, amen. Yes. Then you got to pay for the water, amen. Well, I'm glad you're not a farmer, amen, because you wouldn't make it in business long, amen. A farmer is going to plant a whole bunch. Why? He's going to get a whole bunch back, and if you sow sparingly, you're going to reap sparingly. And so the promise here in grace giving is that everything will be matched. Paul gives a guarantee from Scripture, from the Old Testament as well as the New Testament, that giving is sowing and reaping. Galatians 6:7, he says, be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. Proverbs 11:24, there is that scattereth and yet increaseth. Proverbs 11:25, the liberal soul shall be made fat, and he that watereth shall be watered also himself again. Proverbs 19:17, he that hath pity upon the poor lendeth unto the Lord, and that which he hath given will he repay him again. And so Scripture is loaded saying if we give, God's going to give back to us. God is never going to be your debtor. And so everything will be matched. So Paul lets this church at Corinth know, if you give to Jerusalem, I guarantee you by the word of God that if you sow sparingly, you're going to reap sparingly. If you sow bountifully, you're going to reap bountifully. He says, if you give a lot, you're going to get a lot back. Now, I don't know about you. I'd like to get a lot back. Amen. And so God is blessing. And by the way, I'm living proof of that. I mentioned to the folks in Sunday school, we increased our faith promise again, just like we always do. And I was not sure how 2016 was going to pan out, what was going to happen. But I gave anyway. Our tuition bill came in at about $16,000. And before school started, we already had $11,000 in our account that was scholarship money. Before school even started. We had a school meeting and we sat down and they gave us this tuition bill. And I looked at it and I thought, something wrong with this thing. And I looked at Ms. Dawson. I said, honey, I said, I think they gave us last year's bill. We still owe money. I thought we paid that. It saved $4,000 from last year. And that was actually for this year. And I thought the tuition was $16,000. Well, it was, but scholarship money. I didn't know that was coming in. And so we started off the year already with a bunch of money knocked off. Say why? He that soweth sparingly shall reap sparingly. He that soweth bountifully shall reap bountifully. I don't know how God's going to give you things back, but he always does. He always does. It may be financially. It may be physically. It may be materially. It may be educationally. But God always gives it back. And some way, shape, fashion, form to bless you. Why? Because you're being faithful to him. And so he says down there, every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give. How? Not grudgingly, nor of necessity. Why? For God loveth a cheerful giver. He says, if we sow sparingly, we're going to reap sparingly. If we sow bountifully, we're going to reap bountifully. Everything will be matched. But then he says this, everybody has the means. Notice verse number 7. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give. There's a point in this. He said, every man, there's a purpose in this. He said, you've got to purpose it in your heart. It's got to be a choice that you make. But then he says, there's some production that should happen. So let him give. Then there should be some pondering as to how we give, not grudgingly or of necessity. Why? God loves a cheerful giver. So we don't give by law or by duty. We give by love because God loves a cheerful giver. By the way, cheerful there means hilarious, joyous. God is interested in what we give, but he's more interested in how we give out of what we have. See, Donald Trump has a lot of money. If he gave you $100, it wouldn't bother him a bit. Really wouldn't. Well, if one of us gave you $100, it would bother us a little bit. Let me change it. Probably bother us a lot of bit. Amen. But if I'm Donald Trump, it doesn't bother me. So God is interested in how you give out of what you have and how much you give out of what you have. By the way, may I say that the tithing is still the Lord's. And this is not tithing. This is above and beyond tithing. And so we see everybody has the means down there. But we also see the master of grace giving, not just the manner in grace giving, but the master in grace giving, verse 8. And God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that ye always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. God says, you know what? I am going to give you the grace for everything that you need. He gives all grace. He gives all sufficiency. He gives it in all things, and he gives it for all good works. Now, let me preface that by saying this. God does not expect you to do all things, only the things that are in his will. And the things that are in his will are the things that he's talking about. Now, if you're outside of God's will, he's not obligated to that. You know, folks say, well, I went down and I gambled, Brother Fred, and I spent my money on the lottery, and I didn't have my needs met. Well, you pilfered it on the lottery. Well, God said he's able to make all grace abound so I can have all sufficiency in all things, not on the lottery. That's not in the will of God. Well, I went down and bought some cigarettes and some tobacco, and I don't have any money now. And I gave it over here to this, and now I did it, and I wasted. God's not going to bless that. So don't be foolish. He says down there, and God is able to make all grace abound to you, that ye always having all sufficiency in all things, and may abound to every, what kind of work? Good. Every good work, every beneficial thing. So it's got to be beneficial to the kingdom of God and to the cause of Christ, amen? So God's going to give us enough to go around in every good work, and he's going to make sure that we have what we need to give, and he's going to have what we need to live as well. And so God gives us enough to give and enough to live off of, and it's going to be in God's will that he's going to have us do these things. The Bible still says in Philippians 2:14, I can do how many things? All things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Is that everything? Every good work, every beneficial thing. But not everything. So folks, take that out of context. But not only do we see the promise in grace giving and the preparations in grace giving, we see finally down there, verses 9 through 15, the prosperity in grace giving. He says, as it is written, he hath dispersed abroad, he hath given to the poor, his righteousness remaineth forever. Now he that ministereth seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food and multiply your seed sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness. He's saying basically that God is going to give you what you need, both to sow, and he's going to make sure that you increase. But notice the fruits of righteousness. And so this isn't a good thing, a righteous work. Amen. So being enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which causeth through us thanksgiving to God. Paul says we get a chance to glorify God and to really rejoice with you. God meets their requirements. God multiplies their resources. And that magnifies their Redeemer. Notice down there in verse 11, towards the end, which causes through us thanksgiving to who? To God. So they're not thanking the Corinth church, although they are thanking Corinth church. They're saying, we're going to praise God, that God is using you financially to help someone else. And we're going to praise God for that. By the way, when we give to missionaries, they praise God for it, but they thank God for it most of all, because they know if God is going to get to your heart, then you're going to give. Amen. And by the way, not just giving, but we need to pray as well. As you know, we lost several missionaries in the past several years due to some unforeseen incidents in their life, some medical, some not. And he says, the poor can get relief. Praise is going to be received. Verse 12, notice what he says. For the administration of this service not only supplies the want of the saints, he says it meets the need, the poor is relieved, but is abundant also by many thanksgivings unto God. He says people are praising God. So poor are being relieved, praise is being received. And then he says it shows a proof of regeneration. It shows that you're saved, verse 13. Whilst by the experiment of this ministration, they glorify God for your professed subjection unto the gospel of Christ. In other words, he's saying you are acting like you're saved by what you're doing. And for your liberal distribution unto them and unto all men. He said you're giving the way you ought to be giving. You're demonstrating and you're distributing your wealth. You're not hoarding it and trying to keep it all for yourself. By the way, God still loves a cheerful giver. Amen. And he says, you're showing that. And then he ends up down there by saying, you know, it gives us a prayer of reciprocation. And by their prayer for you, he says, the saints in Jerusalem are praying for you, Corinth, and praying that you'll help, for which long after you for the exceeding grace of God in you. And then he says, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. You know what that gift is? Salvation through Jesus Christ our Lord. For God so loved the world that he gave. So we're going full circle back to where he was at in chapter number 8 when he says, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor. The indescribable gift is the unspeakable gift of grace. And that is through Jesus Christ. And our goal throughout this missions conference is to see what God would have us do. It's going to take over $82,000 next year to support our missions. That's going to break down to roughly about $1,800 a week, I think, or something like that. $1,500 a week that we would have to collectively come out with. And by the way, God doesn't expect you to single-handedly give it all. Nor would you be able to single-handedly give it all. God didn't expect any one Corinthian church member to give it all. Paul wrote and said, you guys are a body, and I expect you guys to give. And he said, I want you to give this way. Every man, according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give. And he said, when you give, don't give grudgingly or of necessity. He said, because God loves a cheerful giver. In other words, what Paul's saying, God's not going to give grudgingly to you. God's not going to give by necessity to you. God is a cheerful giver when he gives to you. And so you be cheerful. By the way, how do you want someone to give to you? How would you like it when you came through the bank, they threw your money at you? Here's your money. You know, while you're scrambling off the floor, everybody's scrambling for your money too. Amen. You wouldn't like that. The cash register person gives you your change and just throws it at you. You wouldn't like that. Nobody say, well, I guess you expect some change, Mr. Hall. Here's your change. That's my change. At least you can give it to me a little kinder. Shane, you go down to U of A. Here's your change, Mr. Shane. I wouldn't like that. What is he saying? As you prepare to give to missions, don't look at the missionaries as they're poor in the mouth, like they're beggars. The missionaries are our servants. They're our co-laborers. They're an extension of us going to do what we can't do in a place that we can't do it at. And God has mandated to you and I as a local church that we are to go into all the world. They have taken up that responsibility to go into a part of the world for us. And we're partnering with them. The key is, how much are we going to partner with them on? Now, I do pray that you've been praying already. Let me leave you with this statement that I read this morning. Missions giving is a spiritual commitment. It will take grace, the grace of God, to give consistently. Missions giving is a physical commitment. We may have to do without some things or to cut back on some things. Missions giving is also a financial commitment. Funds will be obligated and put aside as God gives to us above our tithes and offerings. And then number 4, missions giving is an annual commitment. No matter where we go, we are committing to give for an entire year, no matter where we go. Brother Bruner, he blessed my heart as he went down to Italy last year. He was gone for part of our missions conference and things. And he said, the pastor, I've got to get the P.O. box because I'm going to give my missions and I'm going to send my tithe. I'm going to be in Italy. And then he asked me this. He said, well, since I'm down there getting fed by them, shouldn't I tithe to them? I said, no, you tip to them. You tithe back here. Amen. I said, this is your church. This is your body. This is where you belong. This is your membership here. I said, now you can give down there. I said, but your tithe, your mission belongs here. And he said, I just wanted to make sure. And so he said, I want to get the address and I want to send my missions in and send my tithe in. I'm going to make sure it's get that right. Mark Lenart did the same thing when he went up to Oklahoma. And he's still sending his tithe. He's still sending his missions down. And he's praying for our missions conference now, wondering what's going to happen here. And they're still looking for a church like this and haven't found one yet. But y'all pray for Mark. Mark said, look, I'm going to keep giving until God gives me a place to call home. And you pray for him. But this is going to be a year. And what kind of year is this? Now, I've heard horror stories from preachers already about their missions conferences. I've heard horror stories about people afraid of what's going to happen with the economy. Folks, we've had elections for the last 200 years, 200 plus years. And guess what? God is still sitting on the throne. Economies come and economies go. It goes up, it goes down. Let that not be the determining factor on how you give. Trust God. At this time last year, I didn't know what this year was going to hold. And me and Mrs. Dawson went out and said, this is what we're going to do financially. Did we know we were going to get $11,000 in scholarship money? No. But we did. Did we know things were going to happen the way they did? No, we didn't. But it happened. And God bless. Did we know we were going to get a concert pianist at our church? No, we didn't. But God blessed. But God blessed. We got a lot of things that we didn't plan on getting. And I believe God said, this church is trying to do right. This church is trying to put missions, my heartbeat. This church is trying to do right. They're trying to go forward. They're trying to do this. Let me give them some help. Let me give them a good piano player. Now you give us a good song leader and a good choir director, we'd be good to go. Amen. Let me help them out some. And I'm sure you can attest some of the blessings you had in your life this year. Why? God's faithful. And he's going to continue to be faithful. Don't let the economy scare you. Don't let who's sitting in the White House scare you. Don't let the senators and don't let them scare you. God knows what's going on. And if God lays an amount on your heart, you begin to do the process of praying. God, is this what you want me to give? God, is this what you want me to do? Again, what did Paul say? Start with giving out of what you have. Look at what you have. And what do I have that I can actually give to God? Oh, yes, some of it may be a sacrifice, but some of it may be out of my abundance. Some of it may be sacrificial giving. But then let God give through you. Say, preacher, how much? That depends on what God lays on your heart. Some of us may have to cut back in some areas. But as Brother Baldwin preaches Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, be in prayer. God, what do you want me to do for souls this year in 2017? Not looking at the White House. Not looking at anything other than what you've given me. And I want to be faithful with what you've given me. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Father, thank you for the privilege that we have to give this year. Lord, I pray that you would help us and enable us to give. But Lord, more importantly, there may be one here tonight that does not know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Lord, for that man, that woman, that boy or girl that needs to have Jesus Christ to be their Lord and Savior. As we've already heard testimonies, many have gotten saved before in churches around the world. Someone may be here tonight that needs to be saved. If there's a man, woman, boy or girl here tonight, help them not to leave without being born again. Lord, you still said the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Lord, you said it so clearly. Help those that are here, Lord, to know that Jesus Christ is their Lord and Savior. They've repented of sin and turned from sin and turned to Jesus and born again. Lord, there's one here tonight without Christ, save them. But then, Lord, for Christians, help us to reflect upon how good you've been to us and then give according to how good you've been to us this past year. Lord, help us to consider whether we're going to give out of our abundance or whether we're going to give by sacrifice. Oh, Lord, it's a supernatural faith that you give to us. Help us to see what we have and then give accordingly. With our heads bowed and our eyes are closed, no one looking around, as Miss Natasha plays, why don't you take just a few moments and pray. Ask God what he wants you to do this year. And agree with God that whatever he wants you to give, that you'll do it. Agree with God that you're going to give out of what you have. The altar is open. Maybe you need to come down to an old-fashioned altar. Lay it at the altar and say, God, by your grace and with your power and with your strength, this is what I endeavor to do this year. The Corinthian church gave to their power and beyond their power. Say, Lord, my finances are thus. The missionary need is thus. Now, Lord, what part do you want me to play? And what do you want me to give? And if God lays an amount on your heart, don't try to talk God out of it. Just say, Lord, is this what you want me to do? And yes, children can give. The Bible says every man according as he purposes in his heart, so let him give. Not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. Perhaps you need to come. Lay it all on the altar. Say, God, I don't know how this is going to work. I'm looking at my mortgage. I'm looking at my car payment. I'm looking at these other things coming up and looking at the children's tuition, looking at this, and I don't know how it's all going to work. I guarantee if God lays it on your heart, God can fulfill it. I had no clue that I would get up to $11,000 in scholarship money. No clue at all. No clue that God would send us a piano player, but he did. Say, preacher, why? I believe because people in this church are faithful to give to missions. I believe the people in this church love God, love missions, love the heartbeat of God. You pray, God, what is it that you want me to do? And then do it. God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. God is able to make all grace bound towards you. Say, preacher, I'm on a fixed income. Most of us are. Preacher, I don't see myself getting a raise anytime soon. You never know what God may do. Preacher, you don't know my financial woes. I don't, but God does. Preacher, you don't know the expenses I have. I don't, but God does. Preacher, you don't know how much money I owe. I don't, but God does. Preacher, you don't know how much I'm giving in tithe. I don't, but God does. Preacher, you don't know how many offerings I've given already. I don't, but God does. And I know this, that God is able. And God is faithful. And I know God wants to use you. God wants to use me. In the field of souls. Of men, women, boys, and girls around the world. Father, now thank you for being a gracious God to us. Thank you for what Shining Light has been able to do in these past 15 years. Lord, thank you for the missionaries that we have on the field. Thank you that, Lord, we have not missed a payment to any one of our missionaries. Thank you that we've been able to do so much by way of missions and missions endeavors and to meet needs and to help in missionary outreaches. And God, as we set ready to embark upon another year, help us to look at our resources. Lord, then help us look at the righteousness of God. And Lord, help us to not be concerned about who's in the White House, but who's up in the big house up in heaven. And then Lord, help us to do what you lay upon our hearts. We know that you, if you lay it on our hearts, you can fulfill it. And you can do it through us. Now, Lord, it'll just be up to us then to give it as you lead. Thank you once again for loving us. Thank you for blessing us over these 15 years. And thank you that we've been able to give. And Lord, enable us to do it once again, like you've done so many times in the past. Thank you for loving us. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's